welcome to today's speaker match teleseminar featuring Annie Jennings of Annie Jennings PR. Speaker Match is the leading provider of tools and services for emerging professional speakers. The Speaker Match Lead System is the fastest, easiest, and most economical way to receive highly qualified leads targeted to your unique area of expertise. Connect directly with meeting planners and keep every penny you earn. With Speaker Match, you never pay any bureau fees or other commissions. For more information, please go to www.speakermatch.com/Annie, A-N-N-I-E. That's www.speakermatch.com/Annie. And the founder of Speaker Match, Brian Kaplowitz, is with us today. Brian, a pleasure to do another Speaker Match teleseminar with you.
Well, thank you again, Tony.
And let me now introduce the gals of the hour, if you will. Joining us now is Annie Jennings of Annie Jennings PR. Annie Jennings PR is a leader in new book promotion and marketing ideas and publicity optimization strategies, and is honored always to share with you these cutting-edge and next-level new developments. Annie's mission statement is to help others share their message with the world in hopes of making the world a better place. I also want to let people know that today's powerful teleseminar on how to get booked on the Oprah Winfrey Show is something that Annie has honed to a fine art with Maria Rose, our guest today, our co-guest, I guess. Annie Jennings PR is famous for developing new strategies and techniques to optimize your publicity efforts. And Annie's Oprah Booking Division offers this special teleseminar to you that features her Oprah Booking Specialist, Maria, and is exclusive to Annie. And I want to welcome both you, Annie, and you, Maria. Annie, welcome.
Well, thank you, Tony. As usual, you do such an excellent job introducing us all. I really appreciate that. And most people know Tony Trupiano by now. He is a top national radio show host and a highly acclaimed media trainer. And he also has a new product which has been very, very successful for his clients, which is streaming audio. He'll teach you how to take your website and career to the next level. He can help you develop your audio content, how to develop hot content, how it works. He'll teach you how to present it like a pro. So he includes a media training session that allows you and teaches you how to not only develop hot content, but present it in a way that engages your listener and showcases your talent to both the media and new clients. So he's loaded with ways of using this streaming audio on your site to get your maximum benefit. So, Tony, I'd like you to just tell people a little bit about how they can contact you should they be interested in developing more audio content for their site.
Well, certainly the email address I just gave out, tony@effectivemediatraining.com, and as we're going to be given a lot of information later, I will give you the number where I can be reached. And I guess we're going to go ahead and get started.
Let's go for it.
All right. Well, Maria, I want to thank you for being with us today. And, you know, before we get started, I've got some obviously very specific questions. A lot of people very interested in what we're doing today. Mm-hmm. You are a former Oprah producer.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about that experience? Because, people, and this happened the last time we chatted, people want to know what your experience was like. So let's share that with them.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I when I was in college, I knew I wanted to be in TV, and I said, of course, like thousands and millions of other people, I want to work at Oprah. And I sent my resume once every 6 months or so from my senior year in college, and went to ESPN, did some other things, working with CBS at the time, and got a call from them. I was thrilled and was had a couple of interviews and was hired in November of 2000, started then a couple of weeks later. And it was, I have met some amazing people. I mean, and, the celebrities, the Tom Cruise, Sting sang Maria to me. Just cool things. But really the biggest thing that I really got out of it was meeting sort of the kind of, the everyday, ordinary people who do extraordinary things. And that was one of the greatest things of working with Oprah, is that that's what the show was really about. And it's the authors, the experts, the guests that have amazing stories or that you could just relate to that made an impact. And, the greatest thing, too, is that after you did a show, you would receive thousands of emails, literally, in your, you know, they had a little file that they sent to you of all of the email responses from that show. And you could actually see and feel the people that you were touching. It's pretty amazing.
Absolutely. You know, and I know that you and I talked a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were saying, well, a lot of people thought, you know, think that this is fluff. But what's amazing about it is that people want to know this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people really do want to know this. And, you know, Maria, let's give a little bit of a reality check before we get into some of the nitty-gritty here.
Sure.
There are a lot of people that are very deserving to be on Oprah. There's no question about that. But not everybody can get on Oprah.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's the thing, too, that was tough for me because, you know, if I was working on a show and we needed, say we were looking for 3 or 4 guests for the show, which is, I think, pretty typical, I would probably talk to, I mean, maybe I would talk to 30 people. And that's just me. There's other producers who are working on other segments who are talking to the same number of people. So, you know, for a team to talk to, you know, over 100 people and only 3 get booked, it doesn't mean that the other 97 were not good. It just meant that they didn't work for this show.
And that also brings me to where I wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And let's also make the point before we move on here. It means that you didn't get on that show.
Exactly.
But once the producer knows you, Maria,
mm-hmm.
chances are you might get on another show. Let's talk a little bit about the basics.
Sure.
How does Oprah work? You kind of just laid the groundwork.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, basically how it works is this. There's 10 production teams. Each team has about 5 or 6 people on them. And the team is made up of associate producers, which are basically segment producers, and a production assistant or two. And each team really works exclusive of another team. So if team one is working on a show, team two really doesn't know what, they might know the title of the show, but doesn't really know what guests, what the focus is, anything like that. You're really working in bubbles. So, but what they do know is if Team 1 is, say somebody pitches something about anti-aging to Team 1, but Team 1 is working on something totally different. Now, they do know that Team 3 is working on something anti-aging, and so they say, hey, I don't know if this is going to fit into your show, but this person was great on the phone, or this pitch looks fabulous, or this new book coming out, or this documentary, whatever it is, check it out, see if it works for your show. If not, great. If it does, even better. And then you sort of pass things on like that. So while you do work in bubbles, there is sort of the, you're not trying to, oh, I'm going to hold on to this because it's good and I'm going to save it for something I'm going to use later on. It's really open environment where you're sharing information. As much as you have to share, you're sharing it. Once people pitch producers, those pitches get, if you're pitching for a specific show, say Team 1's working on an anti-aging show, you have an anti-aging book, great. You fit into that show. So what happens then is the team gets together and starts sort of brainstorming ideas. How can we make this better than last time? How can we make this different than the show that happened last year? What newest things are out there? And you start saying, hey, I got this pitch. This book sounds great. This author I talked to sounds really good. What do you think? And you just start putting it out there. And then you start making calls, seeing if people actually do fit in. The other way that people get on the show is that if you pitch something that doesn't fall into a show that they're producing right now, but they say, hey, this person sounds good, this book looks good, it's recent, it's newsworthy, whatever the reason why it looks good, and you put it on your shelf and you say, this person, you know, could be a guest on the show, so I'm going to see where we can fit her in or where we can fit him in. And that's when you create a show idea. All show ideas have to get approved by the supervising producer, the executive producer, and Oprah Winfrey herself. And once something is approved, that's when it gets slated to be produced. It's tough for, you know, to get the approval and to get your show idea approved. I had several ideas that were approved and then produced during the time when I was there. And it's a great achievement because you know it's something that you created that is then seen by, you know, millions, literally, of people around the world. So it's pretty exciting.
All right. Well, and yeah, it is exciting. Let's move on to the next point. And you know, one of the things that you and I chatted about again is know who you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that? Are you talking about the producers?
Right. Right. Yeah. You know, a lot of people just don't understand what a producer does or who a producer is, specifically at the Oprah Winfrey Show. I had somebody say, you know, well, I talked to somebody, but she sounded like she was 20 years old, and I didn't think she knew what she was talking about. And that's the thing. A lot of producers, they might sound young to you. You know, they producers are people who you're going to be talking to in their 20s, 30s. They've been working at this a long time. That sounds funny to say, oh, they're in their 20s, but working at it a long time. But if people come at, you start at the bottom at the Oprah Winfrey Show, and you work your way up. So somebody who's reached the level of associate producer, senior associate producer, or producer, have been there a while, but they might be 32. So they've been there for 10 years. And they have the experience and, most importantly, the credibility to get you booked or not get you booked. The producers are extremely busy. And I don't say that lightly. So when somebody, if you talk to someone and they don't seem like they have a lot of time, they're not listening to you, don't take it as, oh, they don't like me or they don't like my book. You have to understand they're doing the best that they can. They're giving you as much time as they can. But you have to really be ready to pitch. You're not going to have 15 minutes with the producer. You know, you're going to have, you know, two, maybe. And the other thing is that producers are, they're hip, they're trendy, they're, especially at the Oprah Show, they read People magazine more than they read the New York Times. And that's something what's hard for people is that they say, oh, this producer, Colleen, and she hadn't even read my book. Well, it's probably because she just got the topic this morning. And she didn't have time to do it. He didn't have time to read it yet. They're not going to be up on every area of expertise because you do so many shows a year. So you have to understand that you have to be able to talk them through it. Talk to them like they have no idea who you are, what your book is about, what your areas of expertise is, why you should be on the show. You got to sell them that sort of stuff.
Well, and chances are, Maria, they don't know who you are, what you've done, and what your book is about.
Exactly.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about pitch meetings. What are they, and how do you get your pitch included?
The best way to get your pitch included is really to, well, I mean, obviously, you got to have a good pitch. You need a contact there. And you have to send your materials to your contact, and you send them for a reason. You do follow up for a reason. You say, hey, I have a new book coming out. Check this out. I have a new, I'm going to be on CNN. Here's a tape. I did a speaking appearance. Here's a DVD of it. You have a reason to keep in contact with your producer. Once the pitch meetings happen, there's a show that this team one says is working on. They get together, they put their ideas basically together. How can we make this show happen? What's good? Who's good? What can we do with this? And if you are already in the producer's mind because you didn't work out for a past show, because you had already sent your pitch in and it was great, because you called and had a great 3-minute pitch on the phone and this producer knew that you would be good for the Oprah Winfrey Show, those are the three ways really to get yourself included in those pitch meetings. Now the other way is when a producer is looking for new show ideas. Like, this isn't something I'm working on producing right now, but we need an idea for the future. We need something, they always need show ideas, and that's part of a producer's job. So that's when and instead of just saying, hey, I have a new book out, that's when you send a pitch. A pitch that says, here is a show idea that I can fit in. Here is a great segment that's gonna capture viewers all over the world. Here is something that people want to see. Not just, well, I have a new book, so you should put me on.
And how do you know, I mean, when to pitch? I guess, you know, the challenge for me, let's say there's something breaking news.
Sure.
Is that when you pitch, or can you be a little more visionary and say, you know, you may not be doing this now, but I've become the go-to expert on this issue. You know, can you consider it for a future show? When do you know when to approach them?
Sure. And it's one of those sort of gray areas, for sure. I would say you just have to have a reason. You know, you have to, if there is breaking news, absolutely. If there's something that you can talk about that's happening now, that's great. To be honest, though, Oprah doesn't really work with breaking news all that much. Every once in a while, you know, with Katrina, the Hurricane Katrina when that hit, or at 9/11, things like that, something, you know, humongous, she'll break her regular taping schedule and focus on whatever the current event is at the time. But it's a good excuse if you say, hey, did you see this article in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and that either that mentions me or that talks about my subject, and hey, I can get you a copy of it. That's an excuse to call a producer. Or you can say, hey, I'm just letting you know that if you're ever doing a show on so-and-so, I'm the person to talk to because I've also been on CNN, I've also been in my local NBC and ABC affiliates, and my book talks exactly about that topic. I'm not sure if you're working on it now, but if you are, absolutely give me a call because I am the person to talk to about it.
Well, Maria, that really does bring me to a myth breaker.
You know,
for years the myth was if you've been on the Today Show or Good Morning America or Montel, Oprah won't consider you. True or false?
False. Absolutely false. And it's funny because, you know, when I was working there, there are people who would say to me, well, I have a chance to be on the Today Show, so should I wait and instead go on Oprah? And I would say, well, I don't have a show right now that you can fit in, so no, go on the Today Show. Go on Good Morning America. Go on whatever show you want. Because what Oprah says is this, we don't have to be the first. We have to be the best. So if you're on the Today Show, great. You're on for a three-man segment, perfect. But we're going to do something different. Oprah's going to do something different, something unusual, and we're going to get more information, and we're going to do it better than any of the new shows have the, really even can do it, have the ability to do it, because they're a new show where this is talk.
Perfect. All right, let's say, you know, that I've got a dialogue going now, things are great. All of a sudden my phone rings one day and says, hey, do you have time, maybe 10 minutes for me this afternoon to do a pre-interview?
Sure.
Panic sets in for the person getting the call. But let's talk a little bit about that. What are the things that the producers are looking for in that pre-interview?
Right. Well, the biggest thing you're looking for is enthusiasm. You know, and it sounds so almost, you know, like I shouldn't even have to say that. But you know what a producer is looking for is something visual that even if someone might think, well, I'm an expert, I'm a PhD, I'm a doctor, I don't want to be seen as, you know, some acting like some cheerleader or something like that. But what is good for talk TV is enthusiasm, is that you want to be there, that you're excited about being there, that you're excited about your topic, you're excited about your book, you're excited about Oprah, whatever it is, because the producer wants to know that that can be carried over on TV. Now, the other thing is, you need to know what you're talking about. You know, you can't, some people, I remember talking to people who would get on the phone and they would talk to me about how their cat was sick and how their, just bought a new house and their husband and this and that. And I'm thinking like, okay, this has nothing to do with your book. Are you going to get on TV and talk about something that has nothing to do with your book? So be prepared with, I would say, 2-3 minutes top, just a casual dialogue of who you are, what you're about, and why you'd be good for someone for a show on Oprah. And other thing I'll tell you too, Tony, is they most of the time will not call you and say, hey, can I call you back this afternoon? It'll be like, hey, is this a good time? Because I'd like to talk to you for a little bit right now.
And don't you dare say no, huh?
Right.
Actually, you know, tomorrow at 3:30 would work better. Yeah, I don't
care.
Well, you know, but that actually brings me to something else. I mean, there are things, you know, you talked about enthusiasm and, you know, and I think that it's important because I, you know, one of the things that I do as a media trainer is talk to my clients about authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
People really shouldn't hold anything back, should they?
Right. Absolutely not. This is really, you know, it's unfortunate for some people, but it's a one-shot deal for a lot of people. You don't really get another chance to make a good impression. So even if you don't work for that show, give it all you've got. Let them know that you're excited. The worst thing you can say is, oh, I'm nervous, I'm sorry. You know, you should be so ready that when a producer calls, even if you feel nervous, even if your face is hot and red and they don't know it, they don't have a video phone, so sound as clear and as confident as you possibly can and let it all go.
Yeah, you know, and that reminds me of a story I heard you tell about, and may have happened, I'm sure it's happened more than once, but, you know, you really think that you're the go-to person, and the producer calls and says, listen, you know what, it's just not going to work.
Right.
And I remember you telling a story where somebody just came unglued. And said, I can't believe you did this to me. I canceled all these things. This ended up costing me money. That's obviously not a good thing.
It just really isn't. And that's just, I mean, it's simple business sense that, you know, it didn't work out for this show, and that's what people don't understand. It might work out for another show, but if you, the way that that person treated me, just rude, not professional. That was the biggest thing. You weren't professional. That makes me think, okay, then they don't need to be on the Oprah Winfrey Show because they are not professional. And who knows what they're going to do when they get here? Are they going to get to? I've had people get to the hotel and say, "Oh, this room doesn't work for me." And as a producer at the Winfrey Show, you're thinking, "Are you kidding me? That's where Tom Cruise stay. Why it doesn't work for you though?" You know, I mean, you just have to understand that while the producer is going to be nice and going to be respectful of you and going to do everything that that producer can do to make you comfortable and happy and all that kind of stuff, you have to remember you're there for Oprah. It's not the other way around.
Yes, and very quickly, and then there are some specifics I want to get to, something
sure.
else that people need to understand. Maria, they'll meet Oprah for the first time when?
The first time they'll meet Oprah is when you walk out on stage. Or when she walks out on stage, depending if you're seated in the audience or if you do walk out. A lot of people think that she's going to stop in the dressing room or stop in the green room or something like that. She absolutely doesn't. She likes to meet people on camera. And the other thing too is you won't most likely have a private conversation with her. You won't, a lot of people say, well, you know, what's Oprah going to ask me? The producer will tell you that. Absolutely, she'll go over the script and everything like that. But some people who have ulterior motives start asking, you know, demanding things. Well, I need a meeting with her. I have to have a phone conversation with her. That will get you unbooked quicker than, you know, your head can spin. Because that just is one of those sort of red flags that a producer says, uh-oh. Is this person stable? Is this person going to become unglued? Is this person going to come back to haunt me?
Oh, again, it's important to understand these things. Let's talk about, you know, and again, everybody wants to be on Oprah, and I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody say, oh, my friends tell me I'd be perfect for Oprah, and I'm sure it's true. I'm not saying it's not, but they really do need to be experienced. I mean, they do need to have some TV experience before they end up on Oprah.
Right, right. You know, and here's the thing. I think a lot of people, it's funny because it's the people who don't have experience, who say, well, I did, you know, a radio show or I did, you know, something that's not on TV, but I'm great. And, you know, they might be great, but how do you know, ask yourself, how do you know that I'm going to be great on TV? And do you want that first time that you're on TV? I mean, of course, you know, you say, oh, of course I want to be on Oprah, but what if it doesn't work out? What if you're more nervous than you've ever been in your life? What if you can't get your words out? I mean, it's something where you're on that big of stage, you want to know for sure, I've done this before, I can do it again, I am great on TV, and here's my demo tape to prove it. You want to really be at that level. It's not like people think, oh, I have to have 5 years on CNN or 10 experiences with Good Morning America or whatever it is. It's not so cut and dry like that. There's not a certain number of times you have to be on TV. You just have to have done it before so that you know you can do it at that high of level.
Absolutely. Maria, I'll ask Annie a little later on to talk about how people can get the building the platform seated, the
Great.
TV that she did. We have quite a few actually in that series. So
Great.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, physical appearance. Now, you know, some people are going to say, well, you know, I'm really not that attractive. You know, you don't have to be gorgeous to be on Oprah, but certainly you need to be presentable.
Yeah, that's the thing. You don't have to sort of transform yourself into like the kind of the typical model or standards of beauty. But you should have an updated look. You should be, and that is simple as talking to your daughter or your friends or your hairdresser and say, hey, is my look trendy? Do I have an updated look? What do you think? Should I cover my, you know, covering my gray? I mean, little things like that. It's TV. You know, you don't have to have everyone be a size 8 or anything like that. You just want to be as presentable as possible. Know what colors look good on you. Don't wear yellow if it looks bad. You know, don't wear big clunky earrings because that, you know, it's just, it's outdated, or it might make you your Facebook rounder than it needs to be. You just need to, for your clothes, your makeup, your hair, just be updated and be as trendy as possible without going overboard, because you don't want to be a 45-year-old dressing like a 25-year-old either. So get opinions on that too, if that's going to be a problem.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's also talk about, being ready. I think that, and actually, even before we get to that, let's talk about being honest.
Sure.
Certainly, Maria, as a producer at any national television show, there are the constraints of your daily schedule.
Right.
Oprah, of course, is at a totally different standard. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
You do need to be, honest to a fault.
Right. Right.
So let's address that very quickly.
Right. That's the thing. Especially with recent events, namely James Fry and his revelations about the lies in his book that Oprah had publicized for the latest book club selection, or the past book club selection, they are not going to take kindly to somebody who just misrepresents themselves. And that could be as simple as you send in a picture that was 20 years ago, or you send a picture that was 20 pounds ago, or you send in information that's not quite, maybe you're not a PhD, maybe you're a PhD candidate, but you kind of leave the candidate off, or just little things like that that you think, it's not, a big white lie, a big lie where you're saying, I wrote a book, but you really didn't write it, or something like that, but just those little things, you will be found out, and if you are found out, you will never be on the Oprah Winfrey Show. So why bother? Why even, be proud of who you are. Make the best of who you are. If you haven't gotten that education level, that's okay. Make it work for you. Oprah producer, I haven't even gotten my college degree, and I wrote this book, and it's on the bestseller list, and the people on CNN loved it. So that's why I need to be on the show. Use it to your advantage. Do whatever you have to do. Oprah, I may be, overweight, but I made the best of mine. And I love my, thick body, and I love the attention I get for it, and I'm proud of who I am. Whatever it is, use it to your advantage. Don't hide it. Don't lie. You will be found out.
And again, I just want to caution people, not only is Maria telling the honest God truth, you should be doing this in your life anyway.
Yeah.
This is something, you should live your life this way anyway. We will move on just for the sake of time.
Sure.
Let's do it, Maria, a reality check. What are the odds? Are there ways that I can increase my chances of getting on Oprah?
Absolutely. Absolutely there are. It's tough. The reality is everyone wants to get on the Oprah Winfrey Show. And you're going to be competing against the best of the best. So you have to understand that. So if you don't get on, some people think, I didn't make it on Oprah, so, there's no hope for me, or something. So what we've been talking about before, you didn't make it on this show, you might make it on the next show, you might make it on, a year down the line. You never know. To increase your odds are, one, when you have a shot, when you, are talking to a producer, or when you send a pitch in, when you make a call, knock their socks off. Put it all out there. Don't save anything for left. For the next time, definitely be flexible. That helps because a lot of time producers do not have a lot of time, and you can't say, I can't come Friday. Can I come Monday instead? It doesn't work like that. And the other thing too is you really need to be prepared. I can't stress that enough. A lot of time people say, well, I'm just going to put it out there, and I'll just kind of throw it out there, and if it sticks, it sticks. If not, oh well. That's not the way to do it. You need to be prepared. You need to know who you're sending your pitch to. You need to know why that your book or your area of expertise, or why you should be on the Oprah Winfrey Show. And don't just say because it's good, because I'm good, because my mom said so, because my girlfriends think my book is fabulous. Have a real reason. Watch the show. It's simple as that. Why are you as good as Dr. Andrea, who's on there right now? Why are you as good as a Dr. Phil, a Gary Zukav, a John Gray, some of these other experts and authors who've been on in the past? and really, you know, put yourself out there. I mean, you have to understand that you are the only person who can promote yourself in a pre-interview, because they will not be talking to me, a publicist. They won't be talking to Annie. They won't be talking to Tony or media chair. They're going to be talking to you. So you have to be ready.
Well, you know, and it's interesting. I have a very good friend. As a matter of fact, he's been a guest on the teleseminars. His name's Dr. Mark Goulston. And he wrote a book a few years back called Get Out of Your Own Way. And as you're talking, that just keeps coming back to me. Maria, you know, Annie's got a client right now that literally was doing an interview from the dentist chair, and I'm not joking. That's putting yourself out there. Making yourself available.
Tony, that was such a funny story, and we had such a laugh out of this one, because the gentleman calls me and he goes, I just want you to do me a favor, call over to the producer and the host and just let them know I'm going to be doing the interview from the dentist chair, so if they hear a drill in the background, not to worry. And I said, I can see you getting one while you're doing an interview while you're getting a pedicure, getting your teeth drilled. He's just a wonderful client. We love him. And he's just always available. I mean, come, like you said, hell or high water, this guy is there for us.
Right, but, you know, and Annie, yeah, I mean, it's just so true. And Maria, aren't those the kind of personalities where you as an Oprah producer would go, they get it?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And that's the main thing. That's really why I wanted to, and that's why I get so excited about working with Annie and Annie Things PR, is that I could work with people who, they just didn't know what they didn't know. If that makes sense, that it's, they had the great book or they have the presence, but if they only knew they need to sound like a cheerleader, they could get booked. Or if they only knew not to mention a particular thing or not to work on their accent or to send in a more trendy picture, then they would get booked on the show. It's just those little things that give you the advantage that help you get on the show and make it to that next leap.
Very good. Let's talk about that first time we don't get it. You know, I remember about 7 or 8 years ago, you know, I was, you know, interviewed by an Oprah producer, and it was for, it doesn't matter what it was for. Anyway, you know, part of what happened was, you know, there was part of the story just didn't work with what they were doing.
Right.
And I could have lied my way in. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, Maria, you know, certainly, you know, we were very nice to each other, and they did call a couple other times. It just didn't happen to work out.
Mm-hmm.
But so it didn't happen for me. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean, you know, those that have, maybe there are people on this call right now where they've been contacted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going back to something we said almost at the very beginning,
right.
Just because it didn't work this time doesn't mean it can't work the next.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And if you go on the Oprah.com website, you can look at in the archive section of shows that were produced in a given year. And if you look, there's a show that's about you know, finding the best genes for your body in November of 2003. Then in May 2004, they do a show on Genes 101. Then in September 2004, they do a show on the great Oprah gene intervention. You know, whatever it is, it's different show, but it will come back. So if you are doing if you have a topic that they're doing right now, it's not to say that this is the only time that they're ever going to do that show. I mean, most likely, all the shows are a little bit recycled. You know, you're always looking for a new advantage. You're always looking for a new twist to it. But a lot of shows are just kind of redos of shows that was done in the past. So don't think, oh, this is my only one and only time. If this doesn't happen, I should just, you know, give up.
And actually, Maria, we can say that the shows could be revamped, next level ideas that build on the initial show.
Absolutely.
Right? So that's why people should always be thinking, okay, they did this time. How can I improve it now to bring it to the next level for the viewers? Always be thinking next level.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, and I want to actually come back to that in just a minute. We've talked about a lot of things that you can do. What are some of the things that you absolutely should not do? What will really irritate or infuriate a producer?
Right. Well, we already talked about lying, obviously. That's just, should go without saying. The other thing is, don't harass producers. They are doing the best that they can, and it doesn't always meet up with the individual's expectations. So if you don't get on the show, or if they're not calling you back, if they say, I'm going to call you tomorrow, and they don't call you back, don't call them back and say, you know, you said you were going to call me back, and you didn't, and I was waiting all night, and I missed my daughter's ballet recital because you didn't call me. No, just say, hey, I was just wondering, you said you were going to call me back. I have to run out to my daughter's ballet recital. I'll be on my cell phone. Here's another number to reach me. Call me anytime. That's the type of person who gets it. That's the type of person who a producer wants to hear what wants to talk to.
All right, I'm going
to
give you, Maria, a scenario because,
okay,
as you know, I did radio for a lot of years,
right,
and this was not that long ago. I left my show the end of September, but not that long ago, somebody called the office, and I happened to answer the phone, which I do a lot. I mean, I'm not trying to shield myself from the world. And somebody that I didn't know wanted to get on my show and called me Tone.
Mm.
Hey, Tone, how you doing today? Well, you know what? No one calls me Tone.
Right.
And I said to them, why are you calling me Tone? And there was this, you know, uncomfortable pause. Well, Tone, come on, you know, just trying to get on the show. And I went, you don't know me.
Right.
Is that a mistake? I mean, I didn't get infuriated over it, but I thought it was rude.
Well, here's the thing. It's crossing the line between being friendly and being friends. When you're calling to pitch yourself to producer, you're not their friend. Even if they are nice to you, even if they, you know, they seem to have more time than you even thought they would, if they really like your topic, they're still not your friend. You know, there was a situation over there where there's a person who had gotten divorced and had changed your name, and the person I was pitching kept prodding, well, why is your name changed? Well, what happened? And that producer said, you know, forget it. I'm not talking to this person anymore. And, you know, because it's crossing that line, and you don't want to make the producer uncomfortable. You don't want to make the producer, you know, not want to talk to you, not want to take your calls. You want, obviously want to be the opposite of that, you know, and it's just, you have to understand that producers are busy, busy people, but this is their job. They get paid to come to work to produce the Oprah Winfrey Show. This is not something you do for fun or a leisure activity. And I think people kind of have a hard time understanding that. You know, that they it's almost like, well, you have the best job in the world, and so you should be willing to talk to me about it for forever. But it's like, no, I can't talk to you for forever because I have a job to do.
Absolutely. All right, again, for the sake of time, we'll move on. Well, let's talk about being the perfect fit. I mean, we need to understand Oprah's audience. Just kind of give us a demographic, and I think that this will answer a lot of those questions, am I right for the Oprah Show?
Right.
I mean, really, who are you looking for?
Sure, sure. Well, the audience in general is women. It is women in their 30s. I would say this is a typical person. If you're trying to think of who should this, you know, is my topic going to fit in, think of a 35-year-old mother of two in Iowa who stays at home, who is married, who is middle class, and is watching the show while she's folding her laundry or feeding her kids lunch or, you know, whatever it is, cooking dinner for the night. That's who you should think of. And so when you're trying to pitch something, and that's not to say, oh, well, my book is about teens, so that's not going to fit in because the teen isn't a 30-year-old, you know, housewife. But housewives have teens, right? You know, so you have to really think about how to position yourself. You know, or that 35-year-old, you know, mother of two, she's getting older. So maybe your book is on how to ward off the effects of aging. Now, what does a 35-year-old need? To ward off the effects of aging. Is that going to be the same as a 60-year-old? Is that going to be the same as someone who's 25? No. So let's focus on the exact Oprah audience. And a lot of times, you know, I've heard, Tony, people say the Oprah audience is has like a high school education or even less than that, and you should keep that in mind when you're pitching. And that was never something that I heard while I was working there. So I'm not sure exactly where that came from. A lot of time producers say, explain your topic as if you're explaining it to a fourth grader. And that's sort of because you want to be able to not use words that only people in your expertise can understand, not use words that people have to go and look up on your dictionary, and not use words that if somebody is folding their laundry and misses, you know, the first couple sentences, they're still able to catch up. They still know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
that's the type of thing you need.
Or what I tell people, if you have trouble pronouncing it, chances are you shouldn't be using it.
Right.
But hey, that's just me. You know, one of the things that I've also heard you talk about is not just making the show a success for you,
mm-hmm.
but also for Oprah. What do you mean by that?
Right, right. You have to. You can't come on the show with an agenda, you know, and that seems funny for somebody who, you know, is working as a publicist right now, who's working for, you know, Annie Jennings PR, to say you can't have an agenda. But here's the thing. Once you get booked on the Oprah Winfrey Show, you need to understand that this is the Oprah Winfrey Show. This isn't insert your name here show. You know, you have to do the best of your ability to do what the producers are asking you to do. So they're saying, okay, this is how we're going to start the topic off. This is what we're going to, these are the questions we're going to ask you. Do your best. Answer those questions. Be fabulous at those questions, and you will get more. You will be able to create a dialogue with Oprah. And if you go on the show and say, my agenda is I'm going to say my book as many times as possible, there's such a thing called editing. And you will be edited after the show. And a lot of people say, well, it's live on tape, because it is produced as if it's live. But every show is edited, because you have to be edited for time. There's, you know, people slip up and say, you know, a word they shouldn't say, or something like that, that gets edited out. And so you will be edited out. And do you want you to say your book 10 times, or do you want Oprah to say your book name once? Which is more powerful? Obviously, it's Oprah saying your book name. Who are they going to remember it more? It's Oprah.
Well, and the truth is, Oprah's going to say it more than one time.
Exactly.
We've all watched the show, and we all know, just let that process unfold. I mean, it's pretty simple to do that.
Right.
Let me just ask you quickly about how you know. I know that on the website, on Oprah.com, they often will say what's coming up, and there's a place to pitch there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recommend that people do that?
Yeah, well, I would say this. If they are working on a show that is in your topic of expertise, absolutely send an email. Now, if you're working with a publicist, like, or if you're working with Annie Jennings PR, or you know, anybody, the best way is to contact the producer directly. That's not always possible. And for people on this line, they might say, yeah, I'd love to if I, you know, had the chance or had the opportunity or something like that. If you don't have the opportunity to, like, work with me or work with somebody else who has that contact information, absolutely send it through. You just have to realize that there are hundreds, maybe, depending on how big your, you know, the topic is, maybe thousands of people who are also sending an ideas in, sending a pitch in, sending, you know, I want to be on that show. So you have to make yourself stand out. And
let me suggest something here, Maria.
Yeah.
I don't mean to interrupt, but we are running out of time here, and
sure.
I want to make sure we get it all in. And I'm just thinking from my days in radio and back when I was a publicist, you know, I have a relationship with producers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there were a lot of publicists that I had relationships when I was doing my radio show. I always recommend people find a publicist that does have relationships. Not that it doesn't work
yeah.
with me calling. First of all, finding the right number, finding the right producer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying this because you and Annie have this dynamic new program going. But it does make sense
yeah.
that if somebody does have a relationship with Oprah or any other national show,
mm-hmm.
that you really should utilize those relationships.
Right, right. Yeah, the thing too is, you know, a lot of shows you can send in a pitch and say, producer the Today Show or producer Good Morning America, and Oprah doesn't accept packages like that after 9/11. So it makes it even that much harder. She doesn't accept packages that are just, you know, to the Oprah Winfrey Show.
Let people know what happens to those packages. And this is real, people. Please listen.
Yeah, they get destroyed. Because here's the thing. Oprah's a billion-dollar woman, and there are crazy people out there. And if you don't have a correct name, a correct address, or if there's something, I tell the story before, someone sending a baker sending new cake mixes, and it looked like white powder. And the whole building was evacuated. I mean, it was a big deal for someone who was just sending a sample of their cake mix. So you have to understand that when you send something in, if you don't have a name, I mean, and maybe I am overstepping my bounds by saying this, but I would say if you do not have a contact name, don't send it. It is a waste of your postage. It's a waste of your material. Send it through the website if you don't have a contact name, or do whatever you can to get one. Because you don't want to, because then you're going to say, hey, I sent it in. I'm sitting by the phone for the next 2 weeks, when it's sitting in a bin waiting to be disposed of. Doesn't get to the right person.
That's right. I mean, it's just important to do that. And then a couple things very quickly here. Let's talk about, you know, those that, and I'm sure, Maria, you got plenty of those people that just, go on and on about how much Oprah would love them, and they, yeah. you know, you talked about that earlier, you know, mm-hmm. that you want to meet them. This is a little different. I mean, you, there's one thing to be a fan. It's another thing to be a fanatic.
Right, right, yeah. You, you know, this is what people usually do, one of two things. They say, oh, I don't watch the show. I don't know what, you know, what the show is about. I'm too busy. Don't say that to a producer. That's what they do. You're saying, I don't watch what you do. You're saying, I don't like what you do. Don't, it's insulting almost. The other thing is to say, I love Oprah. She's my biggest, you know, I'm her biggest fan, and I can't wait to, like, hug her and kiss her, and she's my sister in a past life, and we're connected, and I have dreams about her. That's overboard. You want to be professional. You want to say, hey, I love the show. Watch it every day. That's perfectly fine. That's encouraging. That's, you know what you're talking about. But anything more than that, you become even more of a fan. And you're going on the show to be an expert. You're not going on the show to be a fan.
Yeah, keep that in mind, folks. Just really keep that in mind. And again, going back to our own personal feelings, Maria, and mm-hmm. one of the reasons why you and Annie have started this dynamic new program is you do want to give people that really deserve to get onto Oprah every advantage to do that. You know, we have to be open to the idea that just because Aunt Millie said or mm-hmm. my boss said that little thing I invented that sits on my desk is perfect for Oprah just mm-hmm. doesn't make it perfect for Oprah.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's the thing, too. It's like there's a lot of people out there who say to themselves, oh, I couldn't do something like that because I don't even know where to start, or I don't know how to have the contacts, or I don't know how, if what I'm saying is good, or how, if I'm coming across well, or anything like that. Because people just need a little bit of development, a little bit of push, a little bit of something to get them to that next step. And it's like, I hated being the producer to have to say no to 97 people and only yes to 3. So if I can help, and I certainly did not have time to go back and call those 97 people and say, I'm sorry, this is what you need to do better. If you would have done this, you would have got on. That's absolutely not something I could have done. I did not even have, it was against my confidentiality agreement with Harpo to be able to say stuff like that. Because I've left the Oprah Winfrey Show, I'm not bound by that anymore. So I can tell people, hey, act more excited. Hey, let's work on that accent. Hey, let's get a new picture. Hey, let's position you in a different way. Let's get a new segment idea out there. Let's get a new pitch out there. And help people really to just cross that threshold.
Yeah, and one of the things, and Annie, I'm going to bring you in because we need to get ready to wrap up here, but one of the things that we have done many teleseminars about, again, we'll talk, as a matter of fact, Annie, can we talk a little bit about the platform? I mean, I've got about a minute for you to talk about that, if you don't mind.
Sure, absolutely. Well, we always encourage everyone to stay out there, stay visible in the media, make sure the media knows your name, because you really never know where your next opportunity is going to come from. An Oprah producer, while they're hunting for the perfect expert, may stumble across you via Google search, via your website optimized, your search engine optimized website. There's so many things you can do to increase your chances of being found by an Oprah producer in need of the perfect expert. One of the ways is keeping your platform building at all times. Go for it. Take those TV, the print. Be visible on radio and in magazines and on TV shows all over the country. Just be out there kicking it up a notch, because this is important.
And Annie, I've always been a believer in being a media hussy. I tell everybody, take everything. Mm-hmm. I don't care if 20 people are hearing it. You never know who is.
You never know who's listening, who's mm-hmm. going to be captivated by the energy in your voice, by what you say, and how you reach the people in the audience. You just have to be everywhere. If you're really serious about playing this media game, you have to be ready to hit it out of the park. And that's my motto, and has been, you know, throughout the years, that if you're going to play the game, you might as well hit it out of the park.
All right. Well, before we get out of here, Annie, I know that you are always so nice to the SpeakerMatch.com
sure,
audience.
Absolutely.
What do you have for them?
Well,
I need everybody to get a pencil, because Annie's got some promo codes to give out to save you
some
money.
And also, of course, Brian will, he'll get a copy of our digital recording, and Brian will let you know how you can listen again to this teleseminar today. So in case you'd like to listen or share it with your friends and family and associates, you're free to do so. So we'll make sure Brian does get the link and you're able to just listen again. But meanwhile, for Brian's clients, all right, here's something. Brian's clients, that sounds good, Brian. A little ring to it. Brian's clients, we have a promo code. It's good for 30 days. Now, here's why. Is we want to encourage you to really be thinking, I want to get on Oprah. We have the rest of this season and next season to get you all ready. All right, we're working for this season and next season. And your promo code is going to allow you a 10% discount from our Fast Track Publicity Club. Now, what the Fast Track is, we're going to train you from head to toe, that is, look at everything you have, and then model you after the perfect Oprah guest. So this is a club. You can do it within 4 to 8 weeks. You can, you know, work as quickly as you want, or you can take the full 8 weeks, whatever your choices are. And we offer a lot of value added with that particular product. You'll get our author and expert survey, segment-style press release coaching, very importantly, the development of your personal Oprah pitch. Now, remember, this club is designed for you to pitch yourself at the end of the program, so no additional fees, just the club fee, right, is what you'll pay, and you'll be armed and dangerous and fabulous, because you'll have your Oprah pitch created, of course, by Maria, who knows what it takes to get a pitch through those doors. And you'll have a website evaluation, an online media kit, traditional media kit training, search engine optimization, very important. Importantly, though, Tony will also offer you a free media training session in this program when you sign up for our Fast Track, which is our school. It is a program designed to teach you how to get on. Now, you have a promo code, so you get to go to AnnieJenningsPR.com/publicitysuperstore.htm. And one thing I forgot to mention, Tony, is the most important thing is at the end of the club, you are given your own personal Oprah producer. That is somebody we feel would work well for you to establish as your contact to the show. You're going to know how to pitch to them, so you won't become a burden, a pest. You'll really be able to go in as a professional.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a huge, huge leverage to people who join the Fast Track. And your promo code today, just for Brian's clients, is 213-086. That's 213-086, and this is for our Fast Track Publicity Club, 213-086, and that's for your purchase today, and it's good for the next 30 days.
Great.
Now, Tony, one more thing. If people just want more information, that is, speak to Maria and myself in a conversation more about what would work for them, they can fill out the form at AnnieJenningsPR.com/publicityclub.htm. publicityclub.htm. Hold on to your promo code. Be sure you tell me you're with Brian so I know that you get your promo code, which is your 10% discount on this particular Fast Track to Oprah Club that we do have. All right, so that's AnnieJenningsPR.com/publicityclub.htm. One more thing, Tony, is we have Express Pitch to Oprah. This is for the packaged people who are ready to go. They've been on the major shows. They have all the tools in place, a highly developed website, an excellent image, next level segment ideas. Express Pitch to Oprah is an option as well. Be sure to ask us about that via an email or by filling out the form at AnnieJenningsPR.com/publicityclub.htm. And Tony, how can people contact you?
That is just so simple. Either Tony at EffectiveMediaTraining.com or toll free 866-209-8031, and I'm at extension 111. Brian, as always, I want to thank you. For more information on Speaker Match, of course, you're going to go to www.speakermatch.com/Annie. That's www.speakermatch.com/Annie. I want to thank Maria, Annie, Brian, especially you for another great Speaker Match teleseminar.
Thank you all.
All right, have a good day, everyone.